As for you, my friends, you were called to be free, but do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another. For the whole law is summed up to one commandment: love your neighbour as you love yourself. But if you act like wild animals, hurting and harming each other, then watch out, or you will completely destroy one another. What I say is this: let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want to do. If the Spirit leads you, then you are not subject to the law. What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions, in worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, not drunk, they get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like these. I warn you now, as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have put to death their human nature with all its passions and desires. The Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives. We must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another.
Just before Cheryl starts, we're going to sing another song, the Servant Song. Some of you may know that. It's part of her sermon today. So if you'd like to come and get ready, then turn your cell phone.
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey, we're companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, shall find such harmony. For noble we've known together of Christ's love and harmony. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant. Okay,
I've titled this Pilgrim's Progress. These afternoon services we call growing together. First of all, we grow in Christ and together. We have just sung the servant song, and in verse 2 it says, we are pilgrims on a journey, we are companions on the road, we are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. We're not meant to fly solo, but to be Te Wānau a Te Karaiti, the family of Christ. This Christian life is a journey, a marathon rather than a sprint, often difficult, painful, so we need each other to be there for us, to support, to pray, to encourage, and maybe practical help. We do have a practical God. Always, though, as an individual, we need the desire to get closer to God. That's what he desires. Who's read Pilgrim's Progress? The only thing I can remember of that book is the Slough of Despond, that sticky clay that brings us to a halt, and in life it can take many forms. But if you are stuck in the mud, there is a way out. God promises that we will not be given more than we can handle. It takes grit, determination, trust in the Lord Almighty and in his word. And in the end, it will be worth enduring. We have had some very good sermons from Jem and Phil over the last 3 months. If you're anything like me, much stuff goes in one ear and out the other. So let's take a look back at some of this. We've covered such things as spring cleaning our lives and our homes of idols, ungodly music and books, material on witchcraft, occult, Eastern meditation, martial arts, artifacts, symbols with spiritual connection to other religions or gods. Power in the communion. The gifts of the Spirit for building up the church. Honouring the Lord God Almighty with respect, awe and humility, with thanksgiving and praise and worship. The attitude of our bodies in worshipping by coming in humility. Speaking in tongues in a personal and public setting. John the Baptist and repentance, turning to God and away from sin. Jesus' birth. He came. Love came down. And then last week, the Ten Commandments. We are not saved by keeping them, but they are boundaries for keeping us safe. Have you put what you've heard into practice? I have entitled this talk, Pilgrim's Progress. Have you made progress spiritually in the past year? 6 months? 3 months? In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves and see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Jesus told the parable of the wise and foolish builders, where the wise man built his house on a rock foundation, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And then he said that the wise person is like the man who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So they're not just a float in and float out. We have to do something with Jesus' words. Are you wise or foolish? God said, be holy as I am holy. Now, how do you do that? In Galatians 5:13-26, we can run a checklist on progress, looking at life opposing the Holy Spirit, and then life with the Holy Spirit. And later I'll invite you to come up the front to receive the Holy Spirit or top up, because we all leak and we need the Holy Spirit. Right, if you'll have a look again at Galatians 5, page 811, we'll go through that scripture. And we start at verse 13. Has everybody got one? Okay, 811 in the Pew Bibles. Okay. We're going to start at verse 13, but I've been turning to verse 24 for the past 2 weeks, because there's a challenge in that I've been working on the Lord with for some time. It says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature. I believe that I do belong to him, that I am a new creation, that the old has gone, the new has come. But have I really crucified that sinful nature? The word crucified is extremely painful. Put to death, throw off the old self and all its wants and desires and weaknesses. It's not going to go down without a fight. I am a work in progress, and he will help me and cheer me on. But I still have to do my part to be transformed into his likeness. Nothing is hidden from God. We will all be called to give an account for every word, every deed done or not done, and every thought. God is very interested in our outward obedience, but he looks even deeper than that. He looks at the heart and our motives. I've got a chart here that I did for Sunday school yonks and yonks and yonks ago, which kind of summarizes the Ten Commandments. Can everybody see that or not? Whoops, I've got a foot tangled up down here. Then I can move it a bit further. Here we go. So across the top here, we've got, only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number two, do not bow down to any idols. This is supposed to be a gridiron helmet. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. This is supposed to be like a cookie jar. One snake. Do not lie. And do not envy others, or do not covet. Okay, so that it helps me to remember by doing that kind of thing. I've got the wrong thing here, I think. Starting at verse 13. You, my brothers, serve one another in love. Sorry, you were called to be free, but you do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another. Jesus did that. He washed his disciples' feet, something only a slave would do. Then it says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's anybody that's not you. Okay? And this law is called the royal law. Love your neighbour as yourself. That's the practical outworking of your faith and the fruit or the proof of us being true Christians, not tokenism. I don't want to be a lukewarm and spat out of Jesus' mouth. I puzzled as to the entire law, but we cannot truly love unless we first have submitted to and received that love from God. Then we can pass it on. And then sin. Like these sheets of acetate, a sin, you can think it's not of no consequence. But one, you can still see through it all right. You can still read through it and what have you. But what happens when we start building up? It gets fuggier to be able to see through until we get a good build-up. And I can't see might be some light over there, sort of, but I can't see a thing through there. There's no way I could read through it. And so it's like a build-up of sin. We might think these things are of no consequence, but they are. God sees. And when we repent, God forgives us, and the slate is wiped clean. Have a look at verse 15. 15 to 17. For the sinful nature... Sorry. If you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out, or you will be destroyed by one another. So I say by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Choices, choices. We make them all day by day, every day. It's a struggle to live the holy life. Someone described it as feeding the black dog, meaning sin, or feeding the white dog, righteousness. It can be like a war going on inside of us, especially if we're trying to overcome our addictions to anything other than God. Have a look at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And verse 19, this legalism, the Spirit of the law is love. And verse 19 says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. That's the seventh commandment here. Do not commit adultery. It is rife everywhere. It's in our faces all the time. God ordained from the very beginning in Genesis that a man shall leave his father and mother and unite with his wife, and the two shall become one. Marriage between one man and one woman. And just in case you think it was only for back then, it's repeated another three times in the New Testament. He designed us to be a sexual people, but within marriage. Pornography also falls into this category, because Jesus said, even if you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. So even our thoughts can condemn us. And also, we have to check what we feed our minds with on the music, in TV, social media, computer, or in the company we keep. Verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, self-ambition. These are covered in Commandments 1 and 2. Other gods in place of the one true God. Self, can also be an idol. Hatred, discord, fits of rage, dissensions, factions. Commandment 6, do not murder. And so our tongues can be used as weapons rather than love, rather than building each other up. Jealousy, envy, that's commandment number 10 over here. Drunkenness and orgies. And then it says, I warn you as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, we better sit up and take notice. Now look back at verse 6, second half of verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Love sounds easy enough, but is it? Now let's look at the good stuff. Life by the Spirit. I am eternally grateful to God for sending the Reverend Pam Mildenhorth to St. Cuthbert's in the early 80s, because she introduced us to the Holy Spirit. And it's through him, through the Holy Spirit, that word gets from the head into the heart. The Bible becomes God's love letter to us, and we develop a personal relationship with the Lord. In verse 22, as the fruit of the Spirit, or the evidence that God, that the Holy Spirit is in us, and it shows up as love, because God is love. I think of God's agape, unconditional love, as being just like a light shining through a prism, but breaking up into brilliant colours. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives also has one source, love, showing up as joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, humility. Sorry, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are you doing on each of these? Did you read in yesterday's word for today that gentleness is strength under control, like a tamed stallion? Be fruit inspectors. Phil's got a chart here, haven't you? I drew up little wee charts so you can have a go at checking your own fruit in your life, if you like. And so I've got Jesus in the middle. And each one of these, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you can mark yourself on here on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Jesus. So if you're perfect, you can put it right around the ring there. And have a look and see how you think you're doing. And then you might like to hand it on to someone who knows you really well and see what they think. Don't be mean to each other, though, will you? Isn't it? Oh, okay. Something like that. Anyway, so I'll hand these. You can get one of these later on and have a look at them and mark yourself. See how you think you're doing in the fruit of the Spirit. So I've called it be a fruit inspector. Then have a look at verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature. No longer I, me, being in the center of the universe, but a loving God. And verse 25 and 26. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then let us not become conceited. It's a trap. If we think we're making progress and then look down on somebody else, snap. We're all sinners. We're all under grace. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. Make your calling sure. This letter to the Galatians was not written to everyone, but to Christians. What do we do? Have you made Jesus Lord of all of your life? Does he sit on the throne of your heart or you? Ask for forgiveness and the mercy of God through the cross on which Jesus paid the price for our sin with his own life, and then walk away from the sin. I once saw a talking birthday card which had a picture of a huge cake on the front, and on opening it, it said, "Step away from the cake, step away from the cake." And so I say, "Step away from the sin, step away from the sin." Don't be like the dog returning to its own vomit. How can we be empowered to be overcomers, to be holy and righteous? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is called our helper, our teacher, our guide, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us because he wants everybody to join him for eternity. But sadly, not everyone will. Call on him and come with open hearts to receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit, or to be topped up. More evidence of the Holy Spirit's in a believer's life is that he will speak in a special language that we know as tongues. Every believer can have this gift, and it's given for personal edification or building up of God's marvelous plan in us. Paul knew the value of it when he said he wished everyone spoke in tongues as much as he did. If you mean business with God, this gift is for you. If you've left this gift on the shelf, dust it off and use it. And when you come up, and I'll call you up in just a moment, expect Jesus to deliver on his promise. If you ask for anything in my name, it will be done for you. You won't be able to understand what you're saying, but the beauty is neither will the devil. But it will build you up. It will strengthen you in this journey of ours. It'll strengthen you in your faith. And we need all the help we can get. So come, just come up to the front and start praising God. Jem and Gracie will pray for you, and so will Jenny and I if you would like prayer. God bless you. So come, look, come and receive the Holy Spirit.